Today we're very fortunate to have Bill Rogers in our pulpit. I'm going to tell you just a few things about Phil. Bill is a perpetual student of the Bible, theology, and philosophy. He's been a pastor in the South Carolina United Methodist Conference for 42 years. Although he retired 2 years ago, Bill is still preaching, thank heavens, and is still teaching pastors and laity in South Carolina. Since he has several degrees, Bill has taught for the Princeton Center of Theological Studies in their Pastor Theological Program. He's been married 45 years to Bobby Jean. Bill is the father of 3 children and grandfather to 7. His nephew is Adrian Rogers, and his wife, Rhonda, are members here at Main Street, along with their 4 daughters. I had the pleasure of meeting Bill about 13 years ago and found out, in addition to being an outstanding preacher and teacher, he's also a wonderful spiritual comforter, as he was a frequent visitor to a friend of mine who was fighting leukemia in the Medical University of Charleston. Bill happened to be serving in Charleston, and we were so blessed to find out he is also a spiritual guider as well. Welcome to Main Street's pulpit, Bill.
I thank God for the opportunity God has given me to be with you this morning. I thank God for Phil, your pastor, who invited me to be here this day. Preaching is not easy for me. I'm always nervous. After my first parish of 6 years, I asked my grandfather, he was in his 80s and had preached most of his life, when would I get over being nervous? My grandfather said, "You know, if you find out, you tell me." I didn't quite like his advice, so I went to my father, who also had been a preacher all his life, and I asked him, and he said, "Let me tell you a story. And by the way, just get used to being nervous." I finished seminary at Emory, and I felt the call for ministry, foreign ministry. I went to Skerritt College in Nashville, Tennessee, to study Chinese. And while I was there, I met a beautiful young woman who's now your mother, Agnes Dawsey. And suddenly my call changed from being sent to China, and the Board of Missions agreed because war was imminent. They sent me to Brazil, where Agnes, my mother, had been raised as a missionary kid. First year was awful, he said. I didn't know any English, and much less Portuguese. And I did not know even how to ask for water. But soon Agnes came, that said, and things got better, much better. But I still struggled with preaching. On Sunday night, I would read the text several times, and then I would write down the full manuscript, which your mother, Bill, used to translate into Portuguese. And for the rest of the week, I would repeat it over and over again until I was sick and tired of it. And Sunday morning was not an easy morning. Well, he invited the bishop, Bispo Isaias. to preach, and he was so excited because that week he was going to have a good time. He visited more. He taught what he could. He spent more time with my mother. They had a good time. But Sunday came. Bishop was there. The congregation was packed. And there were so many people that there were people outside the church with the windows open so they could listen. Songs were sung, prayers were given, the moment came, and Bishop Zayas smiled at my father. My father smiled back to him. My father said, "And now I have the great pleasure of introducing to you Bishop Zayas, who will bring the message today." Bishop Zayas looked at my father and said, "Estou doente," which means in Portuguese, "I'm sick." My father looked at him and thought, "You think you're sick?" He said, "Ever since, it hasn't been quite as bad." In order to introduce our text this morning, let me give you a glimpse of growing up in the mission field. When I was growing up in Brazil, the southern part of Brazil, Rio Grande do Sul, there were three things that you could be certain about: the love of God, rain. Does that strike a bell? And prayer meeting on Wednesday night. It would rain every day. You didn't know when, but you knew that if you went out, you better be prepared. Adults took an umbrella or raincoat. Do you remember galoshes? Kids dressed differently. We used a capa. Capa is something like a poncho with a hood on. I really liked mine. But after a lot of rain, it got heavier and heavier and heavier because it was all wool. But you could count every day there was rain. Another thing that you could count on is Wednesday. Wednesday, you had long prayer meetings. You would have not one, two, three, four, five hymns. You would have a dozen. Sometimes the first and last verse. I wish no verse at times. You would have hymns. And one of the favorite hymns was "Showers of Blessing." You remember that? Some of you might remember. I will not traumatize you by trying to sing it. But it's "Chuvas de Bênção." There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from a Savior above. Showers of blessing, showers of blessings we need. Mercy drop round us are falling, but for showers we plead. And this hymn struck a chord, because I asked my mother, "Mom, why are we asking for rain? We get rain every day." She smiled and said, "Bill, these are showers of blessing, not water. Showers of blessing." My response was, "Well, pour it on. Pour it on." On a day long, long ago, on a mountainside, Jesus sat down. Jesus began to speak. The passage is what we call the Beatitudes, showers of blessing. And I want us to hear it once more. Will you stand? When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. And then he began to speak and teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil things against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For the same way they persecuted the prophets who came before you. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Jesus taught, and what a teaching. Stories, simple stories that everyone could understand. Jesus healed. The blind man received his sight. The troubled regained her mind. The leper was made clean. Jesus taught. Jesus healed. But we forget that Jesus blessed. And here in the middle of the scripture, he sits down and tells them, his beloved people, "Blessed are you. Blessed are you." Will everybody that feels blessed please stand up or raise your hand? You may sit down. Aren't we blessed? Hasn't God just poured blessings upon us throughout our life? If you ask Beth Cothran in Sumter, South Carolina, any day of the week, any hour of the day, "How are you?" That 5'3" beautiful lady will look up at you and say, "I'm blessed. I'm blessed." She got it from her mother, who, when you would ask her, "How are you?" would reply, "God smiled upon me today." Can you say, God smiled upon me. She did until that very last breath. Her last sentence, her last phrase, God has smiled upon me. The word bless, blessing, to be blessed, and derivatives are mentioned more than 500 times in the Bible. Whenever you read the Bible and a word comes up that is repeated over and over again, pay attention. It's important. That's why it's repeated 500 times. From Genesis to Revelation, the Bible is full of blessing. From beginning to end, God has poured His blessings upon His people. And today we gather together to praise God, to bless God, to thank God for all the blessings one by one. You know, one of the greatest compliments that anybody can give another human being is to look at them straight in the eye and say, I thank God for you. You know what you're saying? You blessed me. That person God has consecrated to change your life to the better. I thank God for you. One of the great secrets of life, one that we must remember, is that a good life is one of gratitude. One of gratitude. Spend a few moments every day counting your blessings one by one, and it'll change your life. I don't know about you, but sometimes I get frustrated and I think of all the curses. Change it and look at the blessing. Blessings. And you will find that God has poured upon your life showers that never cease. Now, here comes a more difficult question. Will everyone who is a blessing, I'm not going to make you stand up. Put your hands up. Just, you've been a blessing. Can you claim it? Yes. It's harder to do that, isn't it? Much harder. I mean, we are taught to be humble. We're taught to not claim anything that might be praiseworthy. But aren't you a child of God? Hasn't God created you and called you good? Hasn't God said, you are my son, you are my daughter? When you hear those words, you stand up straight and you can say, God has called me to be a blessing. Little boy went to vacation church school every day of the week. They were learning about the great heroes of the Bible, about Sarah and Abraham, about Deborah, and about Simon Peter and Paul and Mary and Miriam and Ruth and Esther, and all of them who were a blessing to Israel, to the young church. At the end of the week, the mother of this little boy heard him praying. It can be our prayer also. God, make me a blessing. Make me a blessing. Joy, you've blessed me every time I went to eat Martha Frank's with a big hug. Thank you. Now, let me tell you, it's not easy to be a blessing. Not easy at all. Try being poor in a world that measures worth by wealth. Try being sensitive to others and mourn with them. Try being meek in a planet that glorifies power. Try hungering for righteousness in an unjust society. Try being merciful in unmerciful times. Try being pure in heart in a corrupt culture. Try being a peacemaker in a belligerent universe. Try being righteous in an unrighteous world. Try loving your friends and family always. Some of you are smiling. It's not easy sometimes, is it? And Jesus asked us to go a step further. Try loving your enemy. Try loving your friends. Try loving your enemies. Try blessing them as well. God's love is a given. Such love is a gift, and we cannot demand it. We do not deserve it. It's just given. Out of sheer goodness. And all that God has asked us to do was simply share it with others. Share it with others. One that is a blessing is on the way to sainthood. Now, I don't use that word superficially. In fact, in our age, if you say that person is a saint, it kind of is, you say, okay, what's wrong with him? Or what's wrong with her? A saint is one that is trying to love as God has loved us. That's all. The best definition of sainthood, of a person that brings blessing to others, is given by Alice McGinnis, who has several books on saints. And I love this definition, and you will as well. A person who's a saint is blundering his or her way toward heaven. Now, that really helps me, the word blundering. Because I sure blunder. And Bobby Jean could tell that so many times. My wife. I wish you could have known Ethel. She was a saint at Lawrence United Methodist Church. William, you remember her? She had a beautiful smile, and she had a gift of blessing others. She wore out two phones and was on the third one when she died. And I mean wore out. I mean, you know, the handle was worn. She had a telephone ministry that was amazing. Anything that you wanted done, she would see that it was done. She lived in a project, very poor, And I said, don't you want to move to Martha Frank's? She said, no, I like it here. I said, are you sure? I said, no, this is the place where God has sent me. And she had arthritis that deformed her hands terribly. One day I was trying to play with her, and we always would talk back and forth, and I said, Ethel, I want you to imagine something really fantastic. I want you to imagine that I was an angel. And of course she said, that'll take some doing. And this angel comes to you and says, I give you a choice. You can have the most beautiful and useful hands that you can ever imagine, but you have to stop phoning people. And she looked at me and said, don't you take away my ministry. Don't you take it away. Ethel, who blessed us over and over again. When we leave this place, we're going to return to a fascinating world. There's much to live for, much to love, and there's blessings to share. Knowing you, I have high hopes for your blessed life of love through Jesus Christ, our Lord. May your journey be a blessing. Let us pray. God, just teach us. Teach us to be a blessing to the world. In the name of Jesus, who was a blessing, is a blessing, and calls us to be a blessing as well, we pray. Amen. Please turn to hymn number 557 and sing, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds.